And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Patrol. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your boom, boom, boom.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, dog?
I'm David Jacoby. And on the cool check-in, center stage on the mic.
And we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
We're Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
The people of Kansas City got what they wanted in a win for the Chiefs against the Broncos on Thursday night, but it came at a cost. Patrick Mahomes is injured. It was a quarterback sneak, and then this was the scene. He's on the ground. You could tell there is something very wrong with Mahomes. And then, this guy pops his knee back into place. He then walks off. It is being reported that he will likely be out for, quote, at least 3 weeks. Matt Moore came in for Mahomes and did pretty well. Can Matt Moore keep the Chiefs afloat while Mahomes is healing his knee?
Well, no. The Chiefs are extremely talented. Extremely talented at all the skill positions. I still question their run game consistency. But Patrick Mahomes is the MVP for a reason. You don't normally lose the guy that won MVP in the previous season and be better. Now, we've seen Teddy Bridgewater. We've seen Allen. We've seen a lot of backup quarterbacks come in and play well. But I don't think, based on the fact that the Chiefs are a squad that people are going to be gunning for. Remember, when you talk about the best teams in the AFC, it's like Patriots, Chiefs. Texans are now trying to get into that conversation. And so they were able to get through last night's game. The Broncos have been a team that's basically struggled all season, but I don't believe he's going to be able to keep the team afloat.
Well, Matt Moore threw some nice passes. He moved the ball. And one thing about him, one thing we're learning this season is just how important the backup quarterback role is. If I was running an NFL franchise, I would invest a lot of money in making sure I had a good backup quarterback because it's just so important once the main quarterback gets injured. Moore is a veteran. If you're going to have somebody back there, it's nice to have someone who's been in the league for so long, not a rookie or someone who's just developing. And I can see Matt Moore leading this team to some wins while Patrick Mahomes is out. Jalen, the question I have for you next is there's a lot of focus on the play call, whether or not he should have called a QB sneak. I have absolutely no problem with it. What do you think about the play call from Andy Reid?
I have no problem with it at all. And everyone should start putting some respect on Andy Reid's name. I know he probably wore out his welcome with the Eagles, but Patrick Mahomes, the development of this young quarterback so very fast, and the weapons he continues to surround, and particularly on the offensive side of the ball, have been truly dynamic. And how he's been an innovator has been amazing. I have no problems with a scrambling quarterback that can also play from the pocket running a quarterback sneak.
Jalen, we're going to move on. I really thought that as the season approached, we'd talk less and less about NBA and their relationship with China and Daryl Morey's tweet, but keeps popping up back in the news. The latest is this of Adam Silver talking with Time Magazine.
The losses have already been substantial. Our games are not back on the air in China as we speak, and we'll see what happens next. We were being asked to fire him by the Chinese government, by the parties we dealt with, government and business. We said there's no chance that's happening. There's no chance we'll even discipline him.
Interesting that he said that. He's saying that China asked for Daryl Morey to be fired. However, Chinese Forest Ministry spokesperson came out and said, quote, Chinese government never posed this requirement. Jalen, who do you think is telling the truth?
Adam Silver, because if you think about it, he's always been steadfast about how he handled this situation for public consumption. I appreciated on this program that he was unapologetic initially. The teams were over there. They were going into the game, not realizing if it was going to be played or not. We showed all of the advertisements being taken down, the NBA Cares facility that they were going to get put up. They were denied the opportunity to do that. So Silver has been consistent about how he's handled this situation. And I understand what he means talking about the losses are substantial because it's going to have fiscal implications. They didn't show the game, even though it was played in China, locally over there. So that right there lets you know that, yes, we're going to allow this to happen, but there's a long way to go to repair this relationship if it ever gets repaired.
And there are going to be some actions that are not going to help repairing this relationship. There are some reports that Raptors fans are planning on producing and distributing thousands of T-shirts in support of the Hong Kong protests to be worn at the first Raptors game. Jalen, do you think the NBA will try to step in and do anything about the distribution of these T-shirts?
I don't think they should. Because here's what we have to allow. Freedom of expression. We can't now try to get into the business of policing what fans wear to a game, the signs that they have. Of course, if they're derogatory, that's one thing. But in this case, I don't believe that the league should, and I don't believe that it will.
Jalen, the story seems to just not really go away. Do you expect it to sort of dissipate once the NBA season begins next week?
I don't believe it's going to dissipate, Jacoby, because they're a business partner with the NBA. And there are multiple players in the league that have exclusive shoe deals with Chinese companies that may end up being in jeopardy. Also, the ramifications of that relationship could affect the salary cap. I was on NBA Countdown with Woj, and he broke down how a relationship that we have with a business partner, Tencent, for example, if it's $100 million per se, that now is $2 million off of the salary cap. So a player like Klay Thompson, who just signed a max deal, that now affects him $2 million toward the team's salary cap. So this is going to continue to be discussed, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
I have a confession to make. I'm only like 30% confident that I used the word dissipate right. I'm apologizing if I used it wrong and made you use it too. We're going to move on, though. Last night in the Bronx, the Yankees had a chance to even the series at 2-2. George Springer and Carlos Correa had other ideas. This is Springer first, boom, with a three-run home run to give the Astros a lead that they would not relinquish. Tanaka speaks for all Yankees fans there, and then it was Carlos Correa's turn, hits a hard line drive into the stands in left field. Jalen, the Yankees now have a commanding 3-1 lead as they head into game 5. Where has all of the Yankees hitting been this series?
I told you going into this series, it was the exact contrast of styles. The Yankees, when they broke records this year, it was based on their home run hitting. When the Astros were breaking records, it was about their quality pitching. And usually when those two forces meet, pitching wins. And also, people sleep on the fact that the Astros, a championship-level team, has so many different players that they can rely on to get timely hits. It could be Altuve, it could be Springer, it could be Correa. And so now all of a sudden, the Yankees have gotten runners on base, but they got stranded. And so when you play like that at home and you don't bring those ducks off the pond, so to speak, now you put yourself in position to be facing elimination.
The Yankees left 17 runners on base, a huge number. Encarnacion comes to mind as striking out with the bases loaded in a big spot. Now, Jalen, friend of the show, CeCe Sabathia, was on the active Yankee roster. He went into the game, and here's what happened. CeCe Sabathia tried to go 89 miles an hour. Seems like he's all right, but starts moving the left arm a little bit, and then you can see it on his face. He just couldn't finish. The Yankee faithful gave him a standing ovation as he walked off the field. Do you think we've seen the last pitch thrown in Major League Baseball from our friend CeCe Sabathia?
I think we have seen a final pitch of CeCe's illustrious future Hall of Fame career. The crafty lefty, I appreciated how the Yankee faithful, as you acknowledge, gave him a standing ovation. He already talked about retirement. This is an unfortunate way to go out injured and your team trailing 3-1. But he deserved the acknowledgement that he got.
Well, we'll see what happens in game 5. It will be Paxton against Verlander. Do you think the Yankees have a chance to get down 3-1 and get back to Houston against Verlander.
Dan Trabo.
I'm going to take
the Verlander at home, closeout game. It ain't looking good for the Bronx Bombers.
It is in the Bronx, but we'll see if the Yankees can push it back into Houston. Let's get a few minutes. Jalen, as we are so close to the beginning of the NBA season, we get some information. The annual GM survey results are in, and they're interesting. We will first start with who the general managers of the 30 teams in the NBA believe will be this year's NBA champion. We'll take a look at those numbers right now. Ooh, they have the Clippers as the favorite, and then the Bucks in second, and then only three GMs said the Los Angeles Lakers would win the title. Jalen, what does this tell you that the Clippers are the favorite?
It tells me that everybody understands and appreciates the greatness of Kawhi Leonard and how he's going to help catapult a team that made it to the playoffs last year without any all-stars to a team that's a contending one. How about I've never said this sentence? The Los Angeles Clippers have a legit chance to win the championship. Those are words that I've never said. And I've been covering the NBA Finals since 2002. But I still have to make sure that Paul George, after getting shoulder surgery on both of his
shoulders.
Is going to be back playing
both shoulders
at an MVP level. But I understand where the GMs are coming from because they're going to be terrific defensively. You added Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams coming in off the bench, boogieing on them like he did last year, in particular against the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. Doc Rivers, a championship level coach. But I still think they're one wing and or big away from doing it. I really do. Watch Andre Iguodala potentially being bought out by Memphis. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Clippers are going to be vying for his services. But just one note, Rob Pelinka was Andre Iguodala's agent.
I see Iguodala ending up in the purple and gold and being a real contributor for them. I am a little surprised that only three GMs picked the Lakers. What I've seen from LeBron and AD and that roster that they have and Danny Green's ability to hit the three and play defense, I thought that maybe more GMs would pick the Lakers, but what do I know? I just watch tons of NBA basketball. We're going to move on to another important trophy, not the Larry O'Brien trophy, the MVP trophy. Jalen, take a look at who the 30 GMs had as the next MVP of the league. In a bit of a landslide, they have the Greek Freak repeating as the MVP. What do you think, Jalen?
I love the choice for the Greek Freak. And as a voter, I want to bring everybody behind the curtain about something.
Oh, good.
The MVP is a regular season award. So therefore, the number of games you play matter. Where your team is in its conference seeding will matter. And lastly, being amongst the league leaders in multiple categories matters. So for the Greek Freak, he's going to be amongst the league leaders in points, in rebounds, in blocks, in steals, probably lead his team in all of those categories. Just think about that. And he's not a guy that's going to miss a lot of games due to low management. So I anticipate they're going to have the best record in the Eastern Conference. So that's going to place them firmly in the race. But I'm going to give you a name that people are sleeping on. Jokic of the Nuggets. He also is going to be amongst the league leaders in points, in rebounds, and I think the Denver Nuggets have a legit chance to be amongst the top three in the Western Conference. So don't sleep on his candidacy.
I imagine the Bucks will end up as one of the two best teams record-wise in the Eastern Conference, but if the Nuggets get up there in the seeding, if they get a one seed or a two seed, because like the Bucks, they ride on Jokic's production. And Jokic could end up leading the team, as you mentioned, in points and rebounds and potentially even assists. I look for a big year from Jokic this year. If I was in a state where gambling was legal, I might put a little coin on that long shot. Moving on to another exciting award that's given out at the end of the year, the Rookie of the Year. Let's look at who the 30 GMs voted to be the Rookie of the Year. No surprise, Zion Williamson in front, John Morant behind, and then one vote for Darius Garland. I don't see our guy Tyler Hero on this list, Jalen. Where's our guy Tyler Hero?
And again, while there are some terrific GMs in the league, we're also going to be looking at the ticker where some GMs get fired. So we can't take what they say as the Bible. Okay, this is their opinion. This is Zion Williamson's award to lose. If he's healthy, the enthusiasm that he's going to bring to New Orleans and across the league and the numbers that he's going to be able to put up finishing in the, at the hoop, I think it's his award to lose. But don't sleep on a budding young duo in Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant. I think the Memphis Grizzlies have something with those two guys. And lastly, I agree with you. People sleeping on Tyler Hero.
They are.
Jalen and Jacoby is trying to tell everybody. The season ain't started yet. Eric Spoelstra is going to get him involved. Jimmy Butler will probably play more minutes at the three, have Winslow handling the ball. But Tyler Hero going to be getting his buckets. So he's going to figure in that race as well.
We just covered the GM survey, and the GMs around the NBA think that the Bucks are going to be the NBA champions. They're very confident in the Bucks. Well, guess who else is confident in the Bucks? A gentleman by the name of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Here's what he said about the upcoming season. He said, quote, just the habits that we built in these five games, meaning the preseason, I think defensively, the way we played and were really active as a team covering for one another, but going 5-0 doesn't mean nothing. As we move forward, it gets harder and harder, and hopefully in these five games, we build good habits that can carry over into the regular season. Jalen Rose, the Bucks are 5-0 in the preseason, as Giannis mentioned, and the GMs think that the Bucks are going to be champions. What do you think could hold this team back in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, I'll tell you, a glaring weakness in today's landscape of the NBA that may stop the Milwaukee Bucks from winning it all.
Ooh.
You tell me your top duos in the league this year.
Oh, I've got tons. My favorites, I mean, AD LeBron, we got PG and Kawhi, we got Westbrook and Harden, we've got KP and Luka, and we've got many more. There's obviously the Brooklyn one, which is going to be half of a duo, and others, but those are the main ones that come to mind.
And the reason why I bring that up is you didn't say the Bucks.
Mm-mm.
And so while Chris Middleton was a first-time All-Star, and I liked his game, and I appreciated him elevating it, I'm not sure if that duo, coupled with losing Brogdon, along with Bledsoe, once a playoff series starts, is going to be enough consistent perimeter firepower as well as shot making off the dribble. I like how Brook Lopez reinvented himself from a player that played primarily on the post to a center that now made 170-plus threes last year. Knockdown shooter. I like them adding his brothers, going to give them some defense and some more height. Along with Giannis, they're going to be formidable up front. But I just don't think they're going to be as stout as the Philadelphia 76ers, for example, in their own conference.
Like you mentioned, I really think the Bucks might have the best record in the league, but I would imagine in a seven-game series, I would pick the Sixers, and I would heavily favor the Sixers in a seven-game series. I think the Sixers come out of the East, and you were mentioning those duos, and I think one of the most under-talked about, under-appreciated duos in the NBA are these two gentlemen from overseas, Kristaps Porzingis and Luka Doncic. They were in some preseason action, and Kristaps reminded everybody why he is called the unicorn. He doesn't just do it on offense from inside and outside. He will play defense and rim protect with the best of them. That's two blocks in one possession right there. And then on the other end, you have this putback. Kristaps Porzingis gets so many putback dunks. And of course, Luka Doncic just running the show is going to be something to deal with. What do you think realistic expectations are for these Dallas Mavericks?
I think of all of the top duos in the league, this one right here is going to make more three-pointers combined than any of the others.
Ooh, good point.
And the beauty in that is one of the guys is 6'7", the other guy is 7'3". And I told you, there are probably going to be three people in the league that average at least 20 and two blocks. Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis come to mind, and Porzingis is the third one. So there has never been any question other than draft day because he was just an unknown commodity, about his ability to be productive on the floor. He just dealt with some injury history. He had some issues with the Knicks. He wanted to be moved. He had an unfortunate situation happen to him overseas at a nightclub. But on the floor with Luka, I'm saying this is going to be like Steve Nash in his prime, but for Phoenix when he was winning MVPs, and Dirk in his MVP prime when he was with the Mavs, but they got both of these guys so very early in their careers.
So Luka Doncic last year kind of took the league by storm, especially early in the season. Trae Young sort of came on at the end and gave him a chase for Rookie of the Year. I wonder if Luka can continue that. I hope there's no sort of like Spider Mitchell style sophomore slump in the future for Luka. And he played really well last night against these Clippers. You know, he got a lot of assists and a lot of points, but he did have 9 turnovers. Do you think that Doncic could be plagued by turnovers this season?
Well, it's all about who you build around your young stars to allow them to flourish. And if you notice, you mentioned Spider Mitchell. That was a good example. What did they do? Brought in Mike Conley so he doesn't have to only be the primary ball handler and creator. Brought in Bogdanovich, a guy that could get his own shot off the dribble and can shoot the three. For Luka, that's what the Mavs will now do. You see that those are going to be your, you see that that's going to be your dynamic duo. So now you continue to build out the roster to guys that help support their strengths. And I think that Rick Carlisle and his coaching style is going to allow those guys to continue to flourish. They're going to be dynamic to watch. I do not expect Luka to take a step back in his development.
One thing about this duo that's worth pointing out, every other duo around the league, they're either at their peak or maybe a little bit beyond their peak in terms of their NBA career. This is the only sort of like superstar duo in the league that's still ascending, that still has a lot of room to get better. And I hope that this duo stays together in Dallas, because I believe at one point they will win a championship if they do. Jalen, we always talk about all the different Jalens in the sports landscape. Seems like the word Jalen, there's a Jalen on the field at any given time. But there's something being slept on. That's my namesake and my guy, Jakobi White. That's right. Kobe is short for Jakobi. Jakobi had 29 points yesterday. 6 threes, 6 rebounds. Look at Jakobi go. Jalen Rose, can young Jakobi develop into an NBA star?
Yes, I believe so. That's why you take a guy as high in the lottery as they took him. And if you just break down this game, there was also a play where I love we got out on the fast break and did a powerful slam dunk. You saw him shoot the three. He competes defensively. He's tall enough to guard either backcourt slot, and sometimes, depending on the small forward, he could get caught on them and hold his own. I love his game, loved it in college. I think he does have what it takes to be a terrific young player, but I'm disappointed in you in something. Your Die Easy fandom caught up with you on his topic. You know what?
Robin.
We just talked about Rookie of the Year candidates, and you didn't even mention his name.
Well, listen, let me tell you something else. I will never stand for any Jakobi slander on this show, no matter which Jakobi it is. But I say this to Jakobi White, just to try to help his game a little bit. You can't have 29 points, 6 boards, and 0 assists, young man. You gotta get 1 assist. You gotta get 1 assist somehow. Like, come on. You know you got the ball in your hands a lot if you score 29 points. You are a point guard in the NBA. You should have an assist. Come on, Jakobi. I love you, Jakobi. I'm just trying to get you better. That's all. Tough love from Jakobi to Jakobi. Moving on. Well, the gentleman that the GMs think will be the Rookie of the Year, Zion Williamson, there is some bad news. Adrian Wojnarowski let us know that Zion Williamson is going to be out for weeks. It's not a severe knee injury that he has, but he is going to miss some regular season time. Jalen Rose, how much of a concern is Zion's health for the Pelicans?
It has to be a major concern. And I talked a lot about this when he was in college. While he's a freak athlete, we have not seen that body type on any player. How about this for you? He's the second heaviest player in the entire NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that for a second. Boban is the only person that tips the scales more than Zion. And he's over 7 foot tall. Zion is 6'7".
I can't imagine. I know that they got to be close. Jokic has to be heavier than Zion. I can't imagine a world in which Jokic doesn't weigh more than Zion Williamson. It's got to be close. I need to see those numbers. I need to see this. Because if you look at Jokic next to Zion and you tell me Zion weighs more, I don't think so. I'm not buying it. Jokic definitely tipped. He's got to. Jokic is listed at 249. You're trying to tell me that Zion Williamson is around 280, weighs 30 more pounds than my man Jokic?
Either way, the point still stands at 6'7", 285 pounds, but explosiveness like a Sean Kemp, who I compare him to, who was 6'10". And so that geometry has never been done.
Nope.
And if you look at the times he's gotten hurt, exploded a gym shoe in college. So very explosive, doing a spin move, comes out of the shoe. Barack Obama was on the baseline like, wow. Summer league, wasn't able to perform due to injury. And now, knee soreness. When you jump the way he jumps, and I keep telling everybody this, Dominique Wilkins had a 50-inch vertical, but you never saw him jump off of one leg. Nate Robinson won 3 slam dunk contests, jumping off 2 feet. That's my guy. Love Nate. Zion jumps off 2 feet. He jumps off his left leg and jumps off his right leg. Michael Jordan jumped off 2 feet, but then he jumped off his left leg from the free throw line. You ain't see him jumping off his right leg, going to the hole, dunking on nobody with his left hand. Zion doing both. So the injury issue is a major concern for a young, talented prospect.
Well, the NBA world is rooting for you to get back on the court as soon as possible, Zion Williamson.
Yep.
The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. It's the time of year where there's so much happening in the world of sports. So we have a segment where we decide what is worthy of discussion, and that segment is Keep It Moving.
Keep it moving, you know where, keep it moving.
Jalen, if you want to discuss the topic, you say hit the brakes. If not, you say keep it moving, and me, you, and Method Man keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Man, that is so dope. I love that we're original. Let's get it.
First up, Sam Darnold said something that I found very surprising. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
I say we hit the brakes on this one.
Sam Darnold said that when all the offensive pieces are together for the Jets, they are unstoppable. Jalen, he's talking about a team that has won exactly one game. You really think he should be using words like unstoppable?
I think you should have listened to Anita Marks. Oh, wait, you did. Because this is the guy you got on both of your fantasy teams right after she told you to do so. I tried to go pick him up, but somebody else had already grabbed him. I appreciate the young fella having a level of confidence. That's what they're going to need in order to finish the year, some positive momentum. So I appreciate the young fella saying that about his offense.
Jalen, we have some good news for the Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team. You wouldn't want to hit the brakes on that, would you?
Hit the brakes.
That's what I figured. Well, some great news. Juwan Howard has a win before the even taking the floor. They landed 5-star recruit Isaiah Todd. He's 6'10". He's one of the top players in the country. He's currently ranked at number 12 on some lists. Jalen, what does this indicate for Juwan's tenure at Michigan?
I want to congratulate Juwan and his coaching staff for landing this top-tier talent. And John Beilein, for example, did an amazing job of resurrecting the University of Michigan program. I'm forever grateful to everything he did for the program, and even trying to welcome back members of the Fab Five. While doing so, he recruited a different type of player out of high school, and here's what I mean. It seemed that he recruited the type of players that would be on campus for a couple of years, not necessarily the kind of one-and-done type prospects. And he was able to win like that. You see schools like Gonzaga, for example, consistently good because those are the type of players that they were able to recruit. And I love Tim Hardaway Jr., Caris LeVert, Trey Burke, who went on to be College Player of the Year, Nick Stauskas, Glenn Robertson III. But what ends up happening is when you're Coach K at Duke, you're Bill Self at Kansas, you're Coach Cal at Kentucky, you're Sean Miller at Arizona. What ended up happening is the McDonald's All-Americans seem to all end up at those handful of schools.
Mm-hmm.
So this breaks a glass ceiling for a University of Michigan playing in the Big Ten. The last time we signed a McDonald's All-American, his name was Daniel Horton. That was in 2002.
Wow.
So it's been a long time coming, and I'm really happy for Juwan.
Congratulations, Juwan, and the Michigan Wolverines. Next up, Thon Maker's brother is in the news. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Thon Maker's brother, McCurr Maker, he's petitioning to be eligible for this year's draft because he is over, he turns 19 the calendar year of the draft, and he's 1 year removed from his high school. He just didn't go to college. Do you think that he should be eligible for the draft?
I think he should be eligible for the draft. And I always want to acknowledge the hypocrisy of Luka Doncic, because he's an international prospect, can enter the draft. But Zion Williamson, as an American prospect, is designed to go to college. And so based on that logic, I do believe he's going to be eligible for the draft, as he should be.
Next up, Andrew Wiggins is in his feelings a little bit. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Well, there was a top 100 players in the NBA list, and he was not on it. And he said, there's not 100 players better than me. However, after saying that, he went out and only scored 10 points and shot 22% from the floor. Do you think Wiggins is justified in complaining about not being listed as one of the top 100 players in the league?
Well, you're going to always have players unhappy with their ranking. You're going to always have players unhappy with how they're rated on 2K or NBA Live. But the beautiful thing about sports is now you can still go out and prove it. And for Wiggins, a guy that went number one overall, he hasn't necessarily been that best player, consistent type of guy that his teams can rely on. He got to get better defensively. He has to create, he has to be more efficient offensively, and he has to look deeper into the box score and understand something. It didn't say top 100 salaries. It said top 100 players. And he should be in that ranking, but he got work to do, and rightfully so.
He does. I mean, the one thing I would say, Mr. Wiggins, is if you disagree with that list, play your way onto it for next year. Moving on, Michael Jordan did something nice. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Michael Air, Jeffrey Jordan,
that's
hit
right.
the brakes.
Well, Michael Jeffrey Jordan made a $7.2 million donation to Navant Health Clinics in Charlotte. He unveiled the first of two medical clinics in Charlotte that he is going to open. Now, he often is not celebrated for his charitable work and what he does for the community. Do you think that he's underappreciated what he does in the community?
Well, unfortunately for Michael Jordan, it wasn't that he wasn't appreciated for his work in the community. A lot of people felt, because he was the elite superstar that happened to be black, the community was upset at him because they felt like he should wield that power and be more of an influence. And that was an anticipation that came with his position. And then when he made the comment about Republicans that buy shoes as well, which is also an urban legend I hear, that further gave fodder to people who felt that way. He's always been a charitable guy, a thoughtful guy, somebody that had influence and just used it, but sometimes didn't always talk about it. And I related that to LeBron James and the heat that he took for his comments about China. And what I say to people is this: just because you're a champion for a certain cause, you don't necessarily have to be a champion for every cause. And so I felt like LeBron unfairly in a lot of ways got attacked for how he handled that interview. Now, this is what I also want to acknowledge. This is what makes Muhammad Ali so very special. This is what makes what Colin Kaepernick is doing so very special, because those are two people that said, I'm willing to sacrifice my career for a cause that I believe in. You can't expect 99% of the rest of the world to be willing to do that. That's why those guys get lauded the way they do.
That's a very good point and well put, Jalen. Yep. We have a huge weekend of football ahead of us, and two of these games that we're about to preview, I know you have a very special interest in. We start with one of those, where your Lions host the Minnesota Vikings in a huge divisional game. What do you think will happen Sunday at 1 o'clock in the D?
So, people gonna talk about the NFC and who they feel like are the favorites. And the Saints come to mind to me off the top of the dome. Mm-hmm. People hope to catapult the Dallas Cowboys into that category, but they've been struggling. And on and on and on. But people always leave out the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
I'm gonna tell everybody, they're a complete football team. Got two great number one type receivers in Thielen and Stephon Diggs. You got a bell cow in Cook. This and they got a physical stout D at all levels. This is going to be a tough game. This is really going to be a tough game.
It will. I think it's going to come down to that great Detroit secondary against those two great receivers for the Vikings. Hopefully, the Lions come out on top. Well, the next one. It gets me every time. The next one is the Rams on the road in Atlanta against the lowly Falcons. There's no way the Rams can lose this one, right?
I don't root for people to lose their jobs. It's just not humanly in my heart. But Dan Quinn has lost that Falcons squad. And mm-hmm. I've said that they've had the worst loss in the NFL the last few weeks. If you look at the teams that they've lost to and how they've played, in particular on the defensive side of the ball, when he got hired from being a defensive coordinator, and the Rams, did they just add somebody on their team? Jalen Ramsey. Is going to be playing. Aaron Donald is going to be playing. I am going with the Rams on the road.
Well, also on the road are the Ravens, but they head into Seattle, where the Seahawks have been playing very well lately with only one loss. What do you think happens in Seattle between the Ravens and the Seahawks?
Seattle, another team. When you start talking about best squads in the NFC, San Fran's undefeated. Seahawks got Russell Wilson playing like the MVP. I mentioned the Saints. I'm telling you, don't sleep on the Vikings. However, for the Ravens, traveling to Seattle, that 12th man seems to do something special. And Tyler Lockett has a book coming out, a memoir, acknowledging that he's a virgin. He gets paid dirt this weekend. I'm going with Seattle.
Ooh, I like Seattle in that one as well. Jalen, I want to move ahead to a big game in college football. It's at Penn State, where your Michigan Wolverines on the road, the whiteout crowd, facing a top 10 Penn State team. Do you think the Wolverines have what it takes to pull off this upset Saturday night?
James Franklin has done an amazing job of catapulting this program into the number 7 ranked team in the country. That is truly impressive. However, they're new to this. We're true to this. I think Jim Harbaugh has our team ready to play. Our quarterback Patterson is going to have his best game of the year. And what I mean is not 350 yards passing. I mean 250 yards passing, but limited turnovers. The defense is going to carry the day. Michigan Wolverines 24. Penn State Nittany Lions 17.
Ooh, I like it. A big weekend in the NFL and an even bigger game for the Michigan Wolverines. They're going into Penn State, Jalen Rose. The Penn State fans will all be in white in what is known as a whiteout. My question for you, game is at 6:30, 7:30, 7:30 on Saturday. Jalen, Saturday at 7:30, Michigan, Penn State, where are you watching? Take me through everything. What are you wearing? What beverages do you have? What's your food plan? Where are you going to be?
I plan on watching it by myself at home.
Okay, good.
That's how I like to do the big games on.
That's how I do big games
when I'm
too.
Not working. I will be rocking Michigan garb. I likely will go IG live at some point to represent for my squad. The beverage of choice, sangria.
You make your own sangria at home?
Absolutely, in the pitcher.
Oh, tell me
red
about
wine.
The how do you do that? Tell me the whole Jalen Rose sangria process.
Red wine, little brandy, all the fruit you can give me, like pops on Friday, grapes, cut up some apples, oranges, pears, anything that's in the refrigerator, strawberries.
Okay.
All of that. Little simple syrup, ginger beer, club soda, put it in the freezer, let it get cold, put my grown man mug in the freezer too, to give you that frost like when you at a bar and you want your glass nice and cold, got a big handle on it. Been going back and forth to the dentist. Can't do the popcorn right now.
Oh no.
So
oh no.
I'm going all lobster everything. All lobster
Are you
gonna
everything. Grill lobster yourself? You're gonna grill lobster yourself or gonna get
Absolutely.
Lobster from a restaurant? How long? Because I know you like your lobster really well done.
So I have this secret sauce that I've been making with my lobster. Little Ooh. Cajun, it is so awesome. And at 46, I got exposed to something within the last 6 months that I wasn't exposed to my entire life that I'm going to make with the lobster.
What's that?
Bison steak. Bison.
Oh, oh.
Have you ever had it?
I've tried it.
Really
I've never
good.
Ordered it. I've never ordered it. I've tried it.
Because early 2000s, I got off of eating the pork and the beef. Every now and then I indulge with some bacon. Every now and then I indulge with some steak.
Okay.
The bison allows me to retire again from the pork and from the beef.
So I think there's
probably
going to
do some
there's
spinach.
A bison specialty restaurant here in Manhattan. Perhaps we should do a lunch there sometime.
I didn't realize that, sir.
Yes. I'll
we
look it up right now.
We should definitely do so. Do a little corn on the cob. Put it on the grill, char marks on it, some sort of potatoes.
Okay.
Eat good, feel good, and watch my squad perform on primetime.
This place is called Ted's Montana Grill. They got all the bison, bison pot roast, bison everything. Oh, yeah.
Done.
Let's check out the menu. Let's see what they got here for you. Let's see what we got. What do we got? Oh, we got, it looks like pretty normal stuff. Oh, we got bison pot roast, bison short ribs, bison meatloaf sandwich.
Yes.
This is your bison.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So, Jalen.
Yes.
I was talking with Reg, right? And I asked him, if I look like Frank Vogel. And I was like, oh, do I look like Frank Vogel? Because people have been saying I look like Frank Vogel a little bit. I love Frank Vogel. Big shout to Frank Vogel. So Reggie shout says, out. You look like the Joker. And I thought he meant Joaquin Phoenix in the new movie. And I was like, oh, man, that's not a nice thing to say. That hurts my feelings. And then he's like, no. I mean Djokovic. And I mean, I think that's worse than the Joker. You know? Like, would you rather look like the Joker from Batman or Djokovic from the Nuggets?
I think you look more like Jokic of the Nuggets than the That's actual Joker. Yep. And since I've seen you play basketball, You remind me of him body type wise and how you move on the floor. So that's a good one. He's only an MVP candidate, Jacoby. He's only going to be in the top 10 in scoring.
He's not an MVP candidate yet.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Can I say something to this microphone? Can I? Let me just tell everybody something about the NBA season. Y'all ready for this? I'm about to give you some exclusives. On paper, everybody feel like it's going to be Lakers and Clippers. And if I had to pick a champion right now, it would be the Lakers. But the beauty about professional sports is, without super teams, that means squads have weaknesses. Let me say that again. Without super teams, that means squads have weaknesses. When the Lakers took their family photo in the preseason of their squad that featured LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma, you know who the fourth person was in that picture?
Who's that?
Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
And what is he going to be doing 2 minutes to go in the game when LeBron James and Anthony Davis running a hot pick and roll?
Standing in the corner, being left alone.
Open for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, how many people need to be on the floor at all time?
Usually five.
Okay. There's a reason why it's four people in the picture, not five. Because they don't even know who that's going to be yet.
Avery Bradley would be my pick. Avery Bradley is my pick.
Or Danny Green.
Danny Green, I love. My concern is who's going to cover James Harden on the Lakers, right? Like, who's he going to put in front of James Harden? Probably Danny Green, right? Like, I don't even know who to put in front of James Harden. You're not going to put Alex Caruso in front of him. You're not going to put Rajon Rondo in front of him. You could maybe Avery Bradley, you know, he dealt with some injuries the last few years, but when he was in Boston, he was one of the best on-ball defenders in the league.
And this is why I love having this pod platform for 8 years, because we should do a season preview where we go deeper into the box score. Let me go a little further since we got some time. The next team, the Los Angeles Clippers. Kawhi Leonard, finals MVP. Terrific two-way player. He's had 10 assists probably once in his career. Paul George, amazing two-way player. Became the go-to guy for the Oklahoma City Thunder. You remember where he finished in the MVP race?
Where?
Third. If you were ranking the top players that's going to be featured in the Staples Center this year, where would he rank?
Third.
Fourth.
Oh, that's fair.
He went from being the third in the MVP race to the fourth best player in his own building.
In his own building. Real quick.
Okay.
I'm a little worried about the shoulders. I'm worried about the shoulders. This is a thing.
Correct.
This is a big deal.
He didn't have a jammed finger. Okay?
No.
He don't have a twisted ankle. He had surgery on... How many shoulders do you have?
Did he have surgery on the right shoulder, the left shoulder, or did he have surgery on, both shoulders? Both.
Correct. And those are kind of important when you want to dribble pass, shoot, and slam dunk a basketball for 9 straight months.
If you want to raise your arms above your head, you're going to have to use your shoulders. And if Paul George plans on doing that during a basketball game, he's going to need his shoulders. And his shoulders are not healthy. Jalen...
And you know what tends to happen when you play basketball? You fall on the ground.
Yeah.
And it really hurts to do so. You attack in the basket. You try to dunk on somebody. They hit your elbow. You fall awkwardly. That shoulder going to hit the ground. Both of them. Multiple times this season. And I want to just say one more thing I want people to look for. Go ahead.
Oh, no. You go.
Okay. Their family photo featured 5 players. The only team in the league to do so.
You count Landry Shamet? They put Landry Shamet in there, though. They put Shamet in there. No shot to Shamet. He can shoot the ball. He's a nice young player. But they did put Shamet in the picture.
David Jacoby. Shamet wasn't in the main family photo.
I saw one with him in it.
Kawhi, It was Kawhi, PG, Patrick Beverly, Lou Williams, and Montrezl Harrell. That was the family photo. So now, late in the basketball game last year, you could give it to Lou Will against the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. You could give it to Lou Will against Minnesota in February. He one-on-one getting buckets with the best of them, closing the game. Pick and roll with Montrezl Harrell. Guess what Lou Williams doesn't do best? Defend or spot up and shoot?
Nope.
Yep.
So when people talk about the Clippers' defense, guess who the other opposing team going to go after? Lou Will.
Lou Will.
And Montrezl Harrell plays as hard as any player in the league, but he's still 6'9". He's not a seven-footer.
No.
Okay? So Doc Rivers is going to have to massage how he does that defensively, and we'll get back into it more as we're about to record our amazing program. And those are the two teams that should make the Western Conference playoff finals, except they ain't going to have the two best records in the league or in the West.
No. Don't forget, if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. If you leave us a voicemail, Reggie may or may not listen to it. If you give Reggie a shout-out and he listens to it, he'll play it on the show just like this.
Yo, Jalen Jacoby, what's up, man? This is Hart from Dallas. Shout-out, Reg. Hopefully he can listen to this one. My question is, I know Jacoby's a huge pickup basketball guy. What kind of quirky rules or things that bother you that you normally, the rules that you normally play with, that really bother you? I know for me, I play at places where, for one, there's no continuation. So if you call foul and you get the bucket, check up top, you don't get the point. I find that to be completely stupendous. It's not basketball. Another one is, at school we'll play pickup games. It's a full college court, and yet there's no backcourt. So if you get stuck in death corner, right at, you know, top of, in the corner or whatever, you can just throw it back to your outlet guy who's on the other side of the court. So what are some of the quirks or bad rules that you guys, you sometimes are forced to play with based off what courts you guys play on? Again, shout out Reg. Big fan. Y'all take care.
Okay. This, Jalen Rose, you're one of the best NBA analysts. You are the best NBA analyst, for, in my opinion, on the face of the planet. However, this is my territory, dog.
Thank you, sir.
Pickup and rec league basketball analysis is my turf. So I will take this question first. Number one, I want to address something that Art from Dallas had to say. I fully disagree with something he said. I support what he calls no continuation. I support no and ones, we call it. If you say the word foul or you call for the ball and you make the shot, you do not get the bucket. You have to check it up top. Me and my friends always play this way, and I will tell you why. What you don't want are foul calls. You do not want people to call fouls. So if you discourage them from calling a foul, then you will get less foul calls. And the reason you call a foul is because someone has fouled you so hard that you cannot finish your shot, or it will dramatically change the chances of your shot going in. If you get a little ticky-tack foul and then you reset and you take a shot that you think will go in, then you don't call it. I think that's a perfect rule. Again, I've got a whole list of rules that I love. You gotta play twos and threes.
What?
Playing ones and twos is not basketball. Basketball what? Is quantified by two-point baskets and three-point baskets. If you play ones and twos, you've distorted the scoring system. There's no reason to take a one-point shot if you play ones and twos. You should basically, like, if it was like Rockets analytics, you would never, ever, ever shoot a one-point shot if you played ones and twos. Jalen, your thoughts?
I disagree with you about the and ones wholeheartedly.
Yep. Mm-mm.
As somebody that plays through contact, let me tell you why. Because a lot of times, people know they foul you and will give you the call if there's an honor system there and it's people you play with very often. And usually in pickup situations, there are people that you've seen and played against multiple times. So you have a little scouting report about those who call weak fouls.
Mm-hmm.
And those who you can foul and they don't always call it. in your case, you're not leaving the window open for a defender that fouls you to want to give you the call.
Nope.
Now, if you play anyone, you keep the game going if the person make the basket.
You don't deserve the basket.
And that continues the game and doesn't slow it down.
If you make the shot, you call it a weak foul. If you have the ability to make the shot, you call it a soft foul. We're eliminating soft foul calls here. That's what we're doing.
That's not true. That's not true. Because soft in basketball is based on the person who's calling it, not on the actual contact. What I might think is weak, you may think it's really physical, and or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I don't want to play a pickup game to 36.
Nope.
Ones and twos, dog. Yep.
No. Yep. Twos and threes.
Ones and twos.
I feel ones so strongly about this. See, there's two types of people in the world. People that can shoot and people that can't. People that can shoot want to play ones and twos. People that can't, like me, want to play twos and threes. That's really what it boils down to. Because you make the value of the three-point shot essentially a four-point shot. You basically make it a four-point shot if it's ones and twos.
No, that's wrong. How about this? If you're going to play rec ball, what are you guys playing to?
Well, it's timed, dog. If pickup, if we play to 17 or 16 or 19, somewhere in there. Depends on the different runs.
What? Okay, so if you're playing to 19, you can't be playing twos and threes.
Nope.
No, we're playing twos and threes to 19. It's just like playing a regular game to like 8. Yes.
Y'all play a game to 8?
No, not really. But listen, there's a lot of people there. We want to keep it moving. We're old. Takes a long time to get buckets. I'm just telling you what we do. That's how we play. Man. And it works really well. It works really well.
You got to at least play to 12. Can't be playing to 8.
No. No. No.
Put the clock on and play to 12, man. 13. Play to 12 or 13.
Let me tell you some other things that really bother me. Some other things that really bother me. Generally, it's, Reggie's my ear. Generally, it's 11 by ones and twos, but not where I play. Where we play twos and threes to 17. Keep the game moving. You'll get a lot of turnover. Also, here's another thing that bothers me. I'm a post-up player. Don't talk to me about being in the key too long. We're not calling 3 seconds. Don't you dare talk to me about being in the key too long. Don't open your mouth and say anything about how long I'm in the key. There's no referees. No one's calling 3 seconds. Do not talk to me about 3 seconds. If I was in the key for 7 seconds, would you say something?
I would say something because you're distorting the offense. If you're going to go stand in the key, you better be Wilt. Other than that, you got to move out the way sometime, dog.
Yep.
Give somebody a chance to drive.
Yep.
You're selfish. That's what it
give
is.
Give me the ball.
Forget the defense.
I'm going to stand there until you give me the ball.
I would say it if I was your teammate.
Also, I'm not calling backcourt. Like, I just don't like little violations. Like, you know, there's no, like, 8 seconds to get over. The backcourt doesn't exist. You might as well not have a midline if you're playing pickup. What do you think about Art and Dallas complaining about no backcourt?
No backcourt. No backcourt. Distorts the integrity of the game.
Yep.
No backcourt. Here's why. You discourage people from playing defense.
Yep.
Oh, you think there should be backcourt calls?
I think you should not be allowed to go in the backcourt once you get into the front court.
I disagree.
What?
I disagree. It never happens, first of all. But, like, you know those ticky-tacky backcourts where someone's got one foot over and they pivot?
No, it doesn't happen. Let me give you a situation. And I'm going to give your terrible scoring system. It's 7-7. And you're going to 8.
Okay.
You locking down on D. Get a deflection. Boom. They going in the opposite. They going the wrong way. And all of a sudden, they make a pass from the wing to the top of the key. And the person misses the ball. And it goes into the backcourt. That's a violation.
No, nope. Don't call that on me. Nope. No backcourt.
That's a violation.
No 3 seconds. No backcourt. No 3 seconds. We're not doing that.
You discourage people from playing defense.
We're playing basketball. You really call backcourt?
If you ain't giving A1s and calling backcourt. Yes.
No.
That's the only way I've ever played.
Mm-mm.
Come on, man.
I'm not calling backcourt.
Come on, man.
I'm not calling backcourt.
You ain't got the whole floor to do it. You ain't got the, so how about this? Say somebody's passing the ball from the wing to the top of the key and the guy misses it or the young lady misses it. And then the defense picks it up in the backcourt.
Yep.
You go score a breakaway, layup or dunk, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's why you should call backcourt.
Nah.
What? Nah.
You don't understand what, it's I don't understand what you're court. Saying. If the, what? If, it's a if the defense picks up the ball, it's a you change what? Of possession. You don't call backcourt then.
What?
Jalen Jacoby.
Can I explain to you how basketball works?
Are y'all playing half court or full court?
Full court.
What?
Okay, if you're playing full court, there should be a backcourt violation yep. once you get into the front court. Yep. What are you saying?
I understand you feel that way. I feel differently.
I have never in my life played that way. Now, if you're playing 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, if you're playing a half-court game, then it's no backcourt. But if you're playing a full-court game, it should be backcourt.
No, I play no backcourt. I'm just telling
no wonder
you
why
I
ain't
friends.
Never came to run with y'all. Yeah. No wonder why I ain't never came to run with y'all.
I play. You haven't played basketball for like a year, dog. Don't act like you're playing other places. You haven't played basketball for a full entire calendar year. You have not even shot a basketball for a full
play,
entire calendar year.
When
you
I come play, to play, man, we gonna have to adjust a couple of rules.
How many times have I invited
this
you
a
to
great
come play?
Caller.
Since we moved to New York, so it's been like a year and change. How many times have I invited you to come play basketball? How many times?
Every time.
I'd say 40 is probably a good number. How many times have you shown up to play?
Let me tell you two things that don't work necessarily with your runs.
You don't even know
y'all
you've never been.
Y'all play too late. Y'all play too late on
we
a weekday.
We got jobs. 7 o'clock is, 7 o'clock start is not crazy in New York City. People work till six.
I got a secret for you.
Okay.
I got jobs too.
All right. But you work. You don't work in a traditional industry with a traditional time. You know what I mean? Like most people work in offices. They get in around 9. They leave around 6. That's kind of how it works. And then they go play basketball at 7. I know you've never had a real job, but that's how real jobs work.
I'm gonna come run.
I want to see you.
And what you said into the microphone is inaccurate. I've had multiple real jobs. I worked at Dave Bing Steel for four years.
Yeah. And you worked 9 to 5 when you worked at Dave Bing Steel, right?
Or like 7 to 2.
Okay. Cause that job sounds hard, Jalen. That job sounds real hard.
That job was hard. That job was hard, man. I worked on the press too with adults. And each time that steel popped down there, it's like rinse and repeat. Lift it and drop it. 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 I was just saying that in my head. Lift it and drop it. The one person that messes up the assembly line.
Uh-oh.
You got a lot of people upset at you. So you're gonna hit your finger. Your hand's gonna be busted. Lift and drop. Lift and drop. Lift and drop. I worked at an envelope company.
Oh, okay. Making envelopes? Thunder Mifflin?
I sure did. I worked at an envelope company. I learned how to operate a forklift.
Oh.
That's how I got my forklift license.
You
also
still got
have
it?
A chauffeur's license.
I want to see you drive a forklift. We got to do that for the show. Let's have Jalen, forklift Jalen come back. Hard hot Jalen. We'll bring him on the show.
Had a paper route.
I want to thank everybody for calling in. I really appreciate it. Very controversial call from Dallas about pickup basketball. The staff of the show is shocked. I've been accused of not ever playing basketball before. No. Jalen says he's never going to come to my run
Thank
because
you.
Of some of the rules
Thank
that we
you.
Play on.
Thank
like,
you.
This is Thank this has really caused a lot of controversy. I've lost a lot of respect today here in the studio of Jalen and Jacoby, but I will stand by the rules. Twos and threes. No and ones, no backcourt. I stand by the rules which I play pickup basketball.
What you playing with 12-year-olds? Y'all ain't going by the rules?
Jalen?
How old were you when you started playing with, y'all got fifth graders out there?
Jalen, very much the opposite. Everyone's over 40 pretty much. Everyone's over 35, we'll say. Very much the opposite. We do not get up the floor very fast. That is why we play twos and threes to 17. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Don't forget to tell a friend, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. We appreciate your continued support. We'll be back on Monday. Why is that, Karis?
We're not done. when I die.
Got to give the people.
My little guys. I love them.
All I care about is my nipples. Seriously.